Okay, so we're really going deep on this one. You know, listeners want to understand this Mike Johnson guy, right? The new Speaker of the House.
Yeah.
And frankly, after reading this article by Clemens Linschinger, I can see why. Talk about a whirlwind.
Yeah, it really is remarkable how quickly he went from, you know, relatively unknown congressman to holding the gavel.
Right.
It's, I mean, third most powerful person in the country, just like that.
Right. It's like something out of a political thriller. And Linschinger argues that it's not just about Johnson himself. It's about what his rise signals about the Republican Party at this point in time. What do you make of that?
Well, I think you have to remember that 22-day leadership vacuum after McCarthy's ousting. Unprecedented chaos. And Linschinger suggests that Johnson emerged as this kind of compromise candidate right between the GOP's warring factions, the hardliners, and the moderates.
So he's palatable to both sides, but what does that say about his politics? Because this article definitely doesn't shy away from, you know, his conservative views, especially when it comes to LGBTQ rights.
Linschinger goes straight for the jugular, right? Highlighting Johnson's deep involvement with the Alliance Against Ending Freedom. He even filed what's called an amicus brief in a same-sex marriage case.
Okay. And for those of us who haven't, you know, spent time in a courtroom, what does that even mean?
So that means he wasn't directly involved in the case itself, but he felt strongly enough about it to submit his own opinion to try and sway the court's decision.
Wow.
Think about that level of commitment to opposing same-sex marriage.
Yeah, and it gets even more, I don't know, I guess intense is the word when you see some of the statements Linschinger pulls up, like comparing same-sex marriage to marrying your pet, for example. That's pretty inflammatory.
It's meant to be inflammatory, right? Yeah. And it illustrates the depth of his beliefs on this issue. This isn't just about, you know, policy disagreements for Johnson Linschinger's arguing. It stems from a fundamentally different worldview.
Which, as Linschinger points out, is significant when you're talking about the Speaker of the House, right?
Right.
Someone who now has immense power to shape legislation that could directly impact the LGBTQ community.
Exactly. This isn't some, you know, abstract debate we're having here.
Right.
This has real-world consequences. And Linschinger doesn't stop there. His exploration of Johnson's views on women and abortion is where things get particularly interesting and concerning.
Okay, let's talk about that, because the article takes a sharp turn when Linschinger starts drawing these historical parallels.
Yeah, he points to Johnson's stance on women needing to have more babies to support social programs, a statement that on its own is, well, it's something we should unpack.
Yeah.
But then Linschinger goes even further and compares this line of thinking to Nazi Germany's approach to women and childbirth.
Whoa, okay, that's a heavy comparison and one that will likely make some people very uncomfortable.
It's meant to, Linschinger is not pulling any punches here. He's using this historical parallel to highlight what he sees as the potential dangers of this type of rhetoric. Rhetoric that reduces women to their reproductive capabilities. Especially coming from someone in a position of power.
It's definitely a bold move on Linschinger's part, and I imagine it'll spark a lot of debate. I mean, does it effectively highlight the potential danger of Johnson's views, or does it go too far?
See, that's what's so interesting about Linschinger's approach here. He's not just presenting information. He's prompting you, the reader, to think critically about this.
To grapple with the implications of these statements and confront the discomfort they might evoke.
Exactly. And just when you think you've got a handle on Johnson's worldview, Linschinger takes us down another rabbit hole, his religious beliefs.
Oh, boy.
Buckle up for this one, because it's about to get interesting.
Wait, are we talking about the whole creationism thing? Because that's where my jaw really dropped when I first read the article.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly what we're talking about. Linschinger dives into Johnson's reported adherence to young earth creationism.
Okay.
The belief that the earth is only a few thousand years old. Dinosaurs and humans coexisted the whole nine yards.
And this isn't just some casual belief for Johnson, right? I mean, Linschinger brings up that whole Ark Encounter Museum.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
don't even get me started on the Ark Encounter.
It's like,
imagine a life-size replica of Noah's Ark complete with dinosaurs sharing space with humans.
Oh, my gosh.
It's meant to be a literal interpretation of the biblical story, right? A testament to young earth creationism.
That's wild. I mean, it's one thing to hold these beliefs personally, but it makes you wonder how they might influence his policy decisions as speakers, especially when they contradict scientific consensus.
Right. And that's the million-dollar question Linschinger seems to be raising here. How do you reconcile deeply held beliefs that directly challenge scientific evidence with the responsibility of leading a nation in a world that is increasingly shaped by science and technology?
It's a fascinating dilemma, and it's about to get even more complex as we dive into the ways Lynchinger connects Johnson's beliefs to his actions, especially regarding the 2020 election.
Yeah, Lynchinger doesn't hold back at all.
Yeah.
He directly ties Johnson's efforts to overturn the 2020 election results to this belief system we've been unpacking.
Yeah, it's one thing to have these personal beliefs, but to see them potentially impacting something as fundamental as a Democratic election, that's a whole other level.
Exactly. And it gets even more concerning when you look at his stance on other critical issues. Lynchinger draws a direct line between Johnson's creationist views and his skepticism towards climate change.
So if you believe the Earth is only a few thousand years old, then climate change caused by humans is probably not high on your list of concerns.
Yeah, precisely. And Lynchinger argues that this isn't just about environmental policy. It's indicative of a broader pattern of dismissing scientific consensus when it clashes with deeply held beliefs.
Which, as Lynchinger points out, seems to be a recurring theme with Johnson, right? We see it with evolution, climate change, and as the article lays out, even his stance on gun control seems to stem from a similar place.
Right. Lynchinger argues that for Johnson, the Second Amendment is about more than just the right to bear arms. It's a God-given right woven into the very fabric of America's founding.
And that conviction, according to Lynchinger, makes it nearly impossible to engage in a meaningful dialogue about gun control, even in the face of, you know, tragedies that continue to plague the nation.
It's a sobering thought. And it's not just domestic issues where Lynchinger sees Johnson's beliefs shaping his actions. His approach to foreign policy, particularly when it comes to aid to Ukraine, also raises some eyebrows.
Yeah, that's another area where Lynchinger pulls no punches. He argues that Johnson's skepticism about sending aid to Ukraine is rooted in a deeply isolationist worldview.
A worldview that Lynchinger suggests stems from a belief that America's role in the world should be guided by its own interests, even if it means turning away from allies in need.
Which, as Lynchinger points out, is a pretty stark contrast to the more internationally minded approach we've seen from previous administrations.
And it's not just about foreign policy. Is it Lynchinger argues that this isolationist streak runs deep, influencing everything from Johnson's stance on immigration to trade deals?
So what we're seeing here is a portrait of a man whose worldview is deeply intertwined with his political actions, for better or worse.
Exactly. And Lynchinger highlights a particularly striking example of this one that I have to admit made me chuckle when I first read it. Apparently, Johnson has publicly stated his belief that the voting machines used in the 2020 election were compromised.
Wait, what? How could they be compromised?
Well, according to Johnson, it's because they used technology developed by Hugo Chavez, the former president of Venezuela.
Hold on, Hugo Chavez, the guy who died in 2013, years before the election even happened.
Yes, that Hugo Chavez Lynchinger uses this anecdote to illustrate what he sees as a concerning pattern of Johnson embracing conspiracy theories,
yeah,
particularly those that align with his worldview.
Okay, I need a minute to process this. We've got creationism, climate change denial, a distrust of international alliances, and now we're throwing Hugo Chavez conspiracy theories into the mix.
Yeah, it's a lot, right?
Yeah.
But this is where Lynchinger's argument really comes into focus. He's suggesting that Johnson's worldview isn't just about, you know, these individual policy positions. It's about a fundamental distrust of anything that challenges his interpretation of America's founding principles,
yeah,
and his place within that framework.
So it's this clash between a deeply held personal ideology and the realities of governing a complex, ever-changing world.
Exactly. And Lynchinger doesn't shy away from the potential consequences of this clash. He argues that this mindset, particularly when combined with Johnson's, you know, rapid rise to power, represents a potential threat to democratic norms and institutions.
That's a heavy accusation to make. Is Lynchinger suggesting that Johnson's speakership is a danger to American democracy?
He doesn't say it in so many words, but he walks right up to that line. He's clearly raising a red flag, urging readers to consider the implications of having someone with such deeply entrenched beliefs often at odds with, you know, reality in a position of such immense power.
And he connects those concerns to very real world issues like the influence of money in politics. No. I mean, the article doesn't hold back on that front either.
No, not at all. Lynchinger points to the substantial financial support Johnson has received from the oil and gas industry, which aligns quite neatly with his skepticism about climate change.
Right. It makes you wonder if these beliefs attract certain types of donors. Donors who then benefit from the policies those beliefs inspire.
That's the cycle Lynchinger seems most concerned about. He argues that it creates a system where deeply held beliefs, even if they're not based in evidence, can become increasingly entrenched and difficult to challenge all because they serve powerful interests.
So it's not just about Mike Johnson, is it? It's about a system that can be vulnerable to this kind of ideological reinforcement.
Exactly. Lynchinger is using Johnson as a case study, a lens through which to examine the broader dynamics at play in American politics. And it's not a particularly rosy picture.
So where do we go from here? What are we supposed to do with all of this information, all these uncomfortable truths Lynchinger has laid bare?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Mm.
I think Lynchinger would say it starts with awareness, with understanding the power of deeply held beliefs and the ways those beliefs can shape our world, even when they contradict, you know, facts and evidence.
It's about being critical thinkers, questioning assumptions, and demanding transparency and accountability from our leaders, regardless of their political affiliation.
And it's about recognizing that this isn't a spectator sport. The future of our democracy depends on engaged citizens who are willing to grapple with complex issues, challenge misinformation, and hold those in power accountable for their actions.
Well said. Lynchinger's article is a call to action, a reminder that we all have a role to play in shaping the future we want to see. Well, that's it for this deep dive on Mike Johnson. We covered a lot of ground, from LGBTQ plus rights and abortion to creationism and election denialism, all through the lens of Mike Johnson's worldview. It's a lot to unpack, and Lynchinger certainly gives us plenty to think about. As always, thank you for joining us on this journey of discovery. It's been quite a ride.